And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
What's up, RBLR Nation? Hope everyone's having a good night. Good Thanksgiving week. You know, it's a wonderful time. You know, just chilling, relaxing. Hopefully not everyone's too stressed out with the cooking. And, you know, it's lovely to see family, but it can also be a bit, you know, strenuous to see family in some cases. You know how that goes. But regardless, appreciate y'all tuning in. We've got a good Bucks show coming up for you. And if you like what you hear and you really want to support the podcast, easiest way you can do it, like and subscribe. Hit that like and subscribe button wherever you're tuning in. We'd surely appreciate it. And you can also follow us on socials at RBLR Sports. But before we go any further, got to introduce my co-host.
First off, happy Thanksgiving to all you guys listening. If you celebrate, if you don't, you know what? Happy day, whatever you want to do. So how you been, man?
Just chilling, man. Just chilling. My grandparents are in town. Love to see them. You know, getting to meet all my girlfriend's family, which is, you know, can be really fun. But also, you know, a lot of pressure got to impress the people. You know, so it'll be all good. But we've definitely got some cool Bucks stuff coming up. How about you, though? How's Thanksgiving going for y'all?
It's going really – I just had to taste noodles to make sure that they were
– for sure, yeah.
But, yeah, no, man, it's a weird time of year in the Blaine household because I'm the only one who lives in Tennessee. Like, I have my little sister who lives here, but she's in Florida with the rest of the family. So, you know, it's trying times, if that makes any sense.
I get you. Yeah, no, man, it's tough being away from family, being far away from them. But, you know, at the same time, it can be kind of an escape in some aspects. So.
Oh, I'm telling you, man, it's there's days where it's nice.
For sure. Yeah, it depends on your perspective. Anyways, enough about being thankful and all that nonsense. We've got some Buck stuff to talk about.
Stuff that we're not so thankful for.
Right, exactly. Some stuff that we are not exactly going to be excited about talking about with the Thanksgiving meal and all that. Yeah, the Bucks took a not entirely unexpected L against San Francisco 49ers this past weekend, you know, 27-14. Just kind of across the board, it was just a pretty rough performance. But like we said last week and like we're going to talk about, the 49ers are just a better team, unfortunately. So this wasn't exactly a case of like, oh, man, the Bucks could have pulled this one out. Like, no, probably not. There's not really a realistic reality. I mean, maybe in some multiverse, you know, at any given Sunday and all that is cliche.
I mean, towards the end of the game, it started looking like we could until the Cade Otton drop, if I'm being honest with you. Had we caught that touchdown, the interception wouldn't have happened, and then we would have gotten the ball back on the next drive. So, I mean, I'm not saying we would have won, but I'm saying it was very possible for us to pull out a win at the end of that game.
So you're saying it's all Cade Otton's fault? Like, basically, Cade Otton can...
I am not saying it's all his fault.
I'm just messing with you.
Offensively, I blame him.
Okay, fair enough. But speaking of that, who's... If you had to pick a side, like, because obviously the Bucks did not really play well in any phase of the game, offense, defense. So I guess you could say special teams, they were fine. But, both, you know, the offense looked rough. The defense was pretty bad. My own thing is just the defense was atrocious. I mean, I get it. The 49ers have the treasure trove of playmakers that's really difficult to keep up with, regardless of how good your defense is. And Dean kept getting injured, all that stuff. You know, David went down at the end. I mean, it was a tough game. But there were some shots. I mean, there was like a shot during the game where Deebo Samuel was like the only person in the frame, you know? Like,
yeah, it was like a good 20 yards between him and any Tampa defender.
Yeah, I mean, that can't happen, you know? Like, Todd Bowles is supposed to be a defensive-minded coach. Like, this can't happen. Like, I know, you know, Shanahan's an offensive genius and all that stuff, but good gracious, that was just discouraging to see. So for me, the defense was really, really atrocious, but maybe you have a different perspective, Zach.
No, we're on kind of the same page. The offense wasn't great. Like, I'm not going to sit here and act like our offense played phenomenal and our defense lost us this game.
No, not at all.
But I do think that a lot of the big plays, I always talk about momentum in a football game. Like, I think momentum is a real and a very important thing in football.
For sure. So, and they have the momentum bar at the top. That's what you're talking
exactly,
about.
Exactly. So it's like, looking at that, it seemed like San Francisco never couldn't hit on a big play. Yeah. And even before Dean went down, he got beat by Ayuk at least two times. So, like, Dean is supposed to be our number one corner, and he's getting beat by their second or third weapon. Right. I'd say he's the second wide receiver, probably fourth weapon. I'd put him underneath Kittle as well.
I don't know. Ayuk's having a great season. He's on one of my fantasy teams.
Having an all right season.
All right.
Wouldn't say great season. Well, you got to think his numbers are inflated because Debo was out.
His numbers
are going to be inflated, especially while Debo is out.
He's still got to produce, though.
First game back. I don't think that he is a guy that should be beating Jamel Dean, like, at all.
I don't know. I feel like Brandon Ayuk standing in the world of wide receivers, if you want to put that in perspective, is vastly underrated. I think that he is one of the best wide receivers in the NFL that not a lot of people talk about because he gets overshadowed. Really? By
okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's just me, though.
That's respectable. It's not like a outlandish take.
Right. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I don't think that he is – what's the word? I don't think that he's like an all-pro guy. You know what I mean?
Right.
And he looked like an all-pro guy against our defense.
Absolutely. He certainly got the benefit of some very shoddy coverage. I'm not going to disagree with that at all. But, yeah, I don't know. In my mind, I think of Brandon Ayuk as being a better wide receiver than Jamel Dean is as a corner. I know that's kind of a weird comparison, but that's just kind of –
You're not wrong.
Like, my perception of him. Like, I said it
when we signed him to that big contract. I was like, he's not a number one corner.
Right. And I don't necessarily mean that to be a diss on Jamel Dean. I think it's more of – I mean it more as a compliment of Brandon Ayuk. But I'm definitely with you. Jamel Dean shouldn't really be the number one corner on any team.
No, he's any other team. You put him on damn near any other team, he's a two or three guy.
For sure. Yeah, he's not your top cover guy. And exactly. That's kind of what the Bucks are playing him as right now. And it's kind of tough. So, I mean, is that kind of your biggest takeaway, is that the Bucks secondary and their defense is pretty bad? Or are there any – positive takeaways you can get from this game? Or maybe you just kind of flush it down the toilet. San Francisco, Eagles, Lions, those three games are kind of like, the Bucks aren't going to beat those teams 9 times out of 10 anyways, so I can't really read too much.
You know, we talked about the Lions game being one of those, like, this is the test of how good we are. Right. I don't think any of us expected the Lions to be 8-2 at this point in the season, so
yes.
They're looking like one of the better teams in the NFL.
Yeah, for sure.
It just feels like I don't necessarily take any positive from the game.
Right.
But also, like, Baker Mayfield played okay. It wasn't great. It wasn't good. Dude, San Francisco's linebacking core is insane. There was so many balls that I saw that should have been completions that Fred Warner's just jumping up, and he's like 8 feet in the air, it seems.
Yeah.
Like.
Him and Dre Greenlaw, they're both insane.
Yeah, just studs. So – the interception at the end of the game, I don't even necessarily think it was really Baker's fault. But, again, if we not dropped that damn touchdown pass, we wouldn't have even been in that situation.
Right.
But I think that the positives that we can take away from it is I do see our offense growing still. It's not great, but I still see improvement. Like, we put up 14 points on probably the best defense we played all year.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. Yeah, I mean – I don't know. It's a tough thing to take any positives away from this game, like you said. But I definitely agree with you. The offense seems to be on a good trend. You know, it's certainly not taking any steps back. It's not regressing at all. But I would say this. It seemed like Baker was forcing things a little bit at certain points.
Agreed.
Reverting back to those bad old habits. Like, the fumble was pretty bad because he could have done some very different things, and he decided to do that. And I was kind of – as I was watching, I was like, dude, you're playing against a defense with, you know, Bosa and Young on the edges and then Warner as a linebacker. You can't get away with being stupid, you know. Like, you can't get away with the goofy, oh, let me run around. Like, you're not Patrick Mahomes. Like, Patrick Mahomes wouldn't get away with this against the 49ers, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I don't know. It seems a little misguided, kind of like he was – playing as if he was still at Oklahoma, you know, on the track to win a Heisman. Like, nah, man, that's not it. That's not what we're doing here.
I don't disagree with you. Like, your point of trying to make stuff happen is exactly how I thought the game was going as well.
For sure.
It was like Baker was trying too much.
Yeah.
And most games I wouldn't say that's a bad thing. Like, he's right. a dog. He wants to win a game. He's going to do it. He's going to put his body at risk. He's going to do whatever he can to win a game. But you're exactly right. Maybe let's not run the ball right at Fred Warner and Nick Bosa. Like, that's not the best idea. One, make a good career decision, because that's not it, buddy. Sure. I respect you. I want you to be on this team long term. That's not the way to do it. That's a career-ending move if you let them hit you right. So I think I agree that he was doing too much, but I also think that had our defense played better, he maybe wouldn't have had to try to do so much, if that makes sense.
No, absolutely. I don't know. It was a tough game to watch on both sides of the ball. So this is certainly not a Baker blame game. It's also, you know, it's pretty much a defense blame game, but you know, the offense also didn't really play very well either. So it's kind of just,
I gotta ask you, what is your opinion on Devin White in this game?
I mean, look, it's going to be a hard game when Christian McCaffrey is coming out of the backfield. And you know, whether it's through the run or through the pass, he can make a lot of people look goofy. The 49ers do a lot of things schematically that are really, really interesting and can confuse even the best defenders. And Devin White in pass coverage struggles quite a bit. So I thought that this had the chance to be a game where he would have kind of a rough game. So I don't know. It wasn't a pretty game to watch for sure, but I don't know. That's kind of Devin White's – that's just kind of who he is as a player at this point. I feel like you're kind of just – you take what you can get with Devin White, and that was just kind of – that's just kind of the type of player he is.
I feel bad because I gave him my player of the week last week, and then he comes out in this game and just – he looks like a mid-level replacement middle linebacker when he's playing in coverage. And I hate that. Like, I want him to be so good. I know I have this thing on the show where, like, I act like I don't like him because I really don't as a player. Like, I'm sure as a person he's a great guy. But as a player, he just irritates the hell out of me to the point where I'm like, I wish we would have just gotten rid of him in the offseason. Like, I wish he wasn't here. Give me Servassier Dennis. I don't care. Give me somebody. I'm just done with him. And the pass coverage, especially the one play where they motion McCaffrey to the left side of the ball and ran him on an out route, or I guess it was technically an out route to the corner of the end zone on his touchdown pass. It looked like Devin White was running with bricks attached to his feet. And that's what he's supposed to be. He's this fast guy, sideline to sideline. He can outrun anybody, blah, blah. And he looked like he was walking. So yeah. I hated that he looked so bad.
Yeah, I mean it's a tough look for a guy vying for a new contract. You know, I don't know, top dollar. Yeah, and I look at there was another linebacker I think from the same draft class, Devin Bush, mm-hmm. Who's now signed with the Seahawks, kind of just no name kind of guy with the Seahawks. I mean, he was a first round pick as well.
And he was taken, what, 12, like right after Devin White?
Yeah, I think he was the second linebacker, like the second, off linebacker taken off the board. And his career has been kind of a disappointment. I'm not going to compare his career to Devin White because White's been far more successful. He's played much, much better than Devin Bush. But, you know, the value of off linebackers is already so low in the NFL. You know, they're just not – you're not an edge rusher, you're not a receiver, and you're not a quarterback. You're not going to get major money. So. Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of a tough thing to see him play that poorly, and especially in the context of him entering free agency this offseason. So, yeah, I don't know. It was a weird game for him. I thought it was going to be a struggle for him going into this game because it's a struggle for a lot of defenders playing against the 49ers. So, you know, he's not going to be an exception, unfortunately.
You know who it wasn't a struggle for, though?
Who's that?
Antoine Winfield.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say
that. Broke the record for franchise record for most tackles in the game with 16. Like, he is just God. I hope he never leaves us.
Yeah, I feel you. He's a great piece on that defense, but yeah, I don't know. He's going to get a hefty payday, and safety's not. I mean, it's not linebacker maybe or running back low in regards to position priority.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, the Bucs are going to have to make some hard decisions this offseason, and Antoine Winfield might be one of them because he's going to get paid by somebody. And you know, there's all, like, last year it was the Bears and the Falcons in the offseason just kind of paying a crap ton of money to whoever they wanted. And they, you know, the Falcons signed Jesse Bates, the Bears signed TJ Edwards and Edmonds. And, you know, it was just kind of a weird offseason where two really bad teams spent a bunch of money. And there could be that this offseason. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see how it all goes. But I have a bad feeling Winfield Jr. might not be in a Bucs uniform next year just because he deserves to get paid. And I mean, he does.
And I think that Tampa pays him.
I hope so. I hope you're right. I would love to see him in a Bucs uniform. He's a lot of fun to watch. He's really exciting. So we'll just have to see how that goes. But speaking in the same kind of vein, so to speak, as bringing Winfield back, big picture for Baker Mayfield, because this has been kind of a topic throughout Bucs social media, as it will continue to be all the regular season and then into the offseason. Baker's on a one-year deal. He's going to be a free agent this offseason. I think his performance has been above what a lot of people, myself especially, expected from him. I think he's played relatively well. I think he's earned the chance to come back at least for another year as a Buck to kind of just be a bridge quarterback, so to speak, to maybe prove it again, you know, give him another year to try to see if he can be an NFL starter. Because I think this year he's proven to be at least a capable NFL starter, if not an elite guy that's a difference maker. So I think the Bucs should bring him back next year on a one-year deal. Maybe you feel differently. Maybe you want to extend him for like a multi-year deal. Maybe you want to – I'd say just sign him. Don't even bother drafting a quarterback in the first or second round. Just don't worry about the position for now. Just give your roster a chance to kind of refresh until you bring in that franchise guy. Because teams, you've seen it with the Jets. They brought in Zach Wilson. He wasn't ready. The team wasn't ready, period. Sam Darnold before him. Bryce Young right now with the Panthers. He's going through that. And I just don't want to see the Bucs fall victim to that. So what are your feelings on it, Zach?
Yeah, so I'm obviously a huge Baker fan. I'm not even going to try and hide it. Hearing you say you want to bring him back already makes me smile.
But I'm glad.
I do think that it needs to be a multi-year deal.
Ooh, wow.
And now, I'm not saying sign him to a seven-year franchise quarterback contract. I do think that he still has to prove to us some stuff. I think he's a top 15 quarterback in the NFL right now. Okay. So that's better than half of the other teams, essentially.
Right, 100%.
So, like, in my mind, he's a top 15 quarterback. He's at the bottom of that top 15, but he's in the top 15. I would sign him a three-year deal, potentially. Like, that's in my head. I'm thinking 2 to 3 year deal because I don't disagree with you. I don't know that this is a draft class to draft a quarterback. And I mean that in terms of Caleb Williams is obviously, well, him and Drake May are like the 1 and 2 guy right now. Caleb Williams is not a leader. At least the way it looks, like, I don't want him leading my team in the locker room.
And okay.
Drake May, who's the last UNC quarterback you've seen be successful in the NFL?
Right, for sure. No, you know,
Trubisky was the last UNC quarterback to come out, and look at him.
He scares me. Yeah, the UNC. I try not to let college, like the Ohio State quarterback curse. Yeah,
Ohio State, Alabama is another big one for me where, like, they come out and they're just not that, like, Jalen Hurts is the only one in my mind who's, like, a difference maker.
See, I think of Jalen Hurts as an Oklahoma guy because that's where
he's so that's what I was going to say is my next thing is, like, and he did a year at Oklahoma, and I think that's what made him better.
Right, for sure.
So I look at the draft class, and there's only, like, one guy I'm interested in this draft class, and that's Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah, and, well, he looked real impressive on Saturday. He was really
– oh, yeah, did he? Did he, you butthole?
Sorry. I had to throw in the Oregon State shot. I mean, good gracious.
Hey, you know what? Oregon State played well. I didn't expect to
do that. They're having a great season. No, if you lose to Washington, that's
– But he is the guy that I want to see the most, and I – if he goes first round, like, I don't want him.
Yeah. No,
I would take as, like, a second, third rounder. I would take him in the second round. I think he's worth that. Or, like, if we could trade up into the 32 pick and get him just for that fifth-year option, I wouldn't mind that.
For sure.
But I wouldn't take him with an early pick. And I just like him because of his potential. Everyone else, I'm just not sold on. So I'd sign Baker to a three-year deal, draft a quarterback, not this year, next year. If we get a high enough draft pick, if we don't, then we don't need a quarterback if we don't have a high enough draft pick to draft one, if that makes sense.
Right. No, I get you.
So I'm kind of at a sign him to a 2 or 3 year deal, let it play out, see what he can prove. If he hasn't proved anything by year two on that contract, then we need to look into a quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't necessarily disagree with you. I don't know. It's just a tough thing to commit multi-years to a guy that's been around, kind of. I know Geno Smith had a remarkable season last year, and he earned himself a very lucrative and very deserved extension for a guy who was a backup, you know, or kind of just a drifter a few years ago. But I don't know, because Geno Smith was a very different situation. You know, the Seahawks made the playoffs. He was really, really a big part of that. Not that Baker Mayfield wouldn't be if the Bucs made the playoffs, but, you know, they made the playoffs. I don't want to say the Bucs are going to make the playoffs in the illegitimate way this year, but if they make it, they're going to be making it in the worst division in football. It's like, how much stock do you really put into that? So I do think it's a very different situation.
And you got to think, Geno Smith, like I harp on this all the time, Geno Smith had a run game.
Yeah, for sure.
Right. Having a run game is a big part of a quarterback, and Baker's younger than Geno.
That's true. No, that's a good point.
But like my argument to that is, yet Geno played better than Baker is playing right now. Like, right. Not taking that away from Geno. Geno was in a better situation.
That's also true.
He was in a much better situation. If we don't make the playoffs this year, I'm not going to put it on Baker, and I'm not going to put it off of Baker, if that makes sense. Like, obviously, you got to, as the quarterback, you got to take some of the blame. It's just going to happen.
Sure. Yeah.
But if we don't make the playoffs, I think coming into next offseason, the offensive line and our running back position is going to be a big part of our offseason. And I think that's why I say Baker needs at least 1 or 2 more years to prove it. Because if we can upgrade our run game even marginally, I think Baker plays better.
That's fair. And I think a happy middle ground, what's the word for that? Shit.
Happy medium.
Yeah, happy medium. Compromise. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah.
The English language is just not my forte. And it's the only rough language I speak. Anyways, so yeah, a good compromise, you know, a good middle ground. Definitely a 1 year deal. You know, I feel like that's a happy little medium point we can agree to. I don't know if I would go 2 years, but then again, he's played pretty well. So, you know,
it just worries me that if we don't give him a multi-year deal, other teams that will.
Absolutely.
Based that's off of his point. Performance. Like, let's say Aaron Rodgers retires. The Jets need a quarterback. Baker Mayfield is worlds better than.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Wilson. Obviously.
I mean, the Raiders at this point, like.
Yeah, no, for sure.
There's a lot of teams that I think Baker could go to right now and be their starting quarterback. So that's my only worry about not giving him a multi-year contract.
Right, and it'll be interesting because, you know, I think a lot of people see this quarterback class as kind of interesting in the draft just because of the Caleb Williams and Drake May factor. But then there's some other dudes that are kind of interesting. You know, Shadir Sanders out of Colorado, Jaden Daniels out of LSU.
Oh, Nick.
Yeah, and Daniels is a Heisman candidate. A lot of people think that he should win. And obviously you mentioned Penix. So there's some value there, but I agree with you. I think if the Bucs – you know, want to continue to build a successful team, then they've got to hold off at least until the third round if they want to draft a QB, because there are some severe needs that need to be addressed across the board. But one first round pick that's for sure, no doubt that if you're drafting merch, that's a first round pick. Number one overall for sure is the RBLR merch. You can check it out at shop.rblrsports.com. We'll even give you a promo code because it's Thanksgiving and also the Bucks just lost, so you might be feeling down in the dumps about that. The promo code is Cannons, C-A-N-N-O-N-S. Type that bad boy in. You get 10% off your whole entire order. And, you know, we got Rays, Bucks, Lightning, and Rowdy stuff. We've got it all, so definitely check it out if you're looking for maybe some early Christmas presents. You know, Christmas right around the corner. So, yeah, definitely check it out and do some maybe early shopping. But after that shameless shop plug, we are going to change course a little bit because, you know, it's been a rough week for the Bucks. You know, they haven't played particularly well, and, you know, they're 2 games below 500 now. It's kind of tough, but we're going to change gears. What's your song of the week for this week? Well, Zach, go ahead and hit us with it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I haven't really been listening to very much music this week.
Fair enough.
But I have a very eclectic taste of music. I like everything.
Uh-huh.
So
One of those guys, huh?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if you guys have heard the new, well, you guys, I guess it's just me and you tonight. I don't know if you've heard the new Jonas Brothers and Bailey Zimmerman song.
No, I have not.
You don't seem like a country music fan or a Jonas Brothers fan, so that's fair. I am either.
Yeah. I'm
listen, you don't hate on the Joe Bros. I've been rocking with them since I was like 12. But they had a new song come out. I don't even know what it's called at this point. I just listened to it for the first time in the car. So it sounds terrible, but it's really good. I think I'm gonna be listening to that probably the rest of the week.
Fair enough. I dig it. Mine's gonna be Might As Well Be Spring. It's a Stan Getz tune. He's a sax player, and it's because with the way the Bucks played this Sunday, it might as well be spring. You know, the season might as well be over. I know that's a depressing thing to say, but
I'm ready to watch some XFL at this point.
Right, exactly. The Orlando Guardians or whoever the heck it is coming out of the Central Florida region. So I don't know. It was a tough week. But, you know, that's how it be sometimes. And we'll get into some news now. The Bucks had a little bit of news this week because, you know, the Jamel Dean injury news has been kind of a weekly thing. Like, he's been coming out of games almost every week. And finally, they came out with some news about it. He has an ankle injury, but he's going to avoid missing an extended period of time. You know, he's not going on the IR. He avoided a serious ankle injury, so that's nice. Also, they signed linebacker J.J. Russell to the roster. They signed a few guys to the practice squad as well. And then they waived tight end David Wells. You know, whatever.
exactly.
Right. Just kind of some standard stuff. But, you know, got to talk about it because it's the Bucks. But this is all in preparation for the Bucks-Colts game this weekend. They are not playing Thursday on Thanksgiving. They are playing Sunday afternoon. So to start off, do you think, just kind of in a broader context sort of thing, do you think the Bucks are better than Indianapolis despite the fact that the Colts have a better record? The Colts obviously lost Anthony Richardson for the season, unfortunately. They're running with Garner Minshew as their quarterback. So because of all of that, do you think that the Bucks are better than Indianapolis?
Yeah, I think I do.
There's some hesitation there.
That's hard to think about. In my mind, I say yes. Like, right. I know records are, like, obviously that's how you get into the playoffs. You got to have a better record.
Right. But there's
I think that the Colts' record is inflated a little bit. Like, I don't think that they're as good as they look or as good as their record looks. So I do think that we're a better team all around. It just depends. You know, we talked about last week San Francisco being kind of Jekyll and Hyde. And that's what Tampa's defense is looking like right now. We'll have a really great game and a really shit game, a really good game, and it's just not consistent. And I think it depends on what version of Tampa's defense comes up. I think Baker could have a big game. I think Mike Evans could have a big game this week. But it depends on what our defense does. Because if our defense can't keep Indy out of the end zone, I don't know that we're going to win a shootout with any team.
Yeah, and luckily I don't think that Indy is capable of engaging in a shootout, if we're being completely honest with all their offense. You know, Garner Minshew's not striking a lot of fear into my heart. Neither is that receiving core. Although Josh Downs and Michael
Pittman, I would say Josh Downs has looked so good.
For sure. They both look outstanding. And the offensive line is okay. It's mostly just, you know, they've kind of got a game manager kind of guy. I think of Garner Minshew as very much of a sort of a Baker Mayfield light, in that they kind of look similar. They're both kind of like a bit stocky white guys that are kind of goofy and, like, you know,
he's like the Wish version of Baker Mayfield.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a Walmart brand or Great Value Baker.
Yeah.
So yeah, that'll be kind of fun to see two kind of goofy white guys go at it. But you know, that's always a good time. But yeah, I don't know. The Colts are a weird team. They've got a victory against the Ravens on OT. They've also lost to the Saints. They only put up 10 points against the Patriots. I mean, they've kind of been all over the place in regards to their records and how they've done against teams. But they've also put up 38 points against the Browns. Like, the Browns have one of the best defenses.
They're the number one ranked defense in the league.
Exactly. So, like, it's just kind of like, who the heck are they? You know, like, I don't really know. And I don't know that they know. So I don't know. It's going to be a really interesting game. But I do think that the Bucks are better than the Colts on paper. And some more Colts news, but obviously it relates to the Bucks because they're playing the Colts this week. They released Shaq Leonard. It was a bit weird. He had been benched a few times this season. His playing time had gone down. He seemed like he was mostly just out there on first and second downs. They weren't comfortable with him on third downs for whatever reason. And he's no longer on the team. He's being put through waivers. So what are your thoughts on that? I mean, it seems kind of strange to me. He was an all-pro.
Claim him. I wish Tampa would claim his ass so fast. I love Shaq. He's not the Shaq Leonard from 2 years ago.
Right.
Not saying that.
He steps back.
I think that he is still an upgrade in our pass coverage. And he's not even necessarily just a pass coverage guy. But I think that he upgrades, especially if Lavonte David, his injury continues to flare up. Right. I haven't heard anything on David. I don't know if he's out or what it's looking like for him.
Yeah, they've kept it close to the chest with him.
So I think he'd be a great replacement for David, and I would – sounds bad. I'd start him over White.
Yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting thing because, you know, the waiver wire and all of these intricate rules and contracts and stuff, it's kind of weird. I don't know that I'd claim him. I don't think he gets claimed by anyone.
I don't disagree.
Right, because he's got a hefty price tag for next season. And, you know, we've already talked about it earlier in the show. The off linebacker position just isn't really getting paid anymore. So I think that they let him go unclaimed. But I do think that there's going to be a pretty competitive market in free agency. I don't know how lucrative the Bucs are to him because, unfortunately, yeah, you know, there's not a lot of room for playing time if David's healthy. Because it's basically going to be David and White. I know that in theory I'd start, you know, Shaquille Leonard over Devin White, but, you know, there's also a familiarity thing that has to go on. You know, he has to learn the playbook. Devin White's been here for his whole career. So I don't know if he's going to end up signing here. I would be interested to see what happens with David because I'd love for David to stay healthy. Obviously, Lavonte David,
exactly,
Limer's in the NFL. But if he does have to go on IR or if he has to miss an extended period of time, I'd be interested to see what they do with it because, you know, Shaquille Leonard is a really, really good linebacker. I think he's still got some miles left in him. So I'd be interested to see how it all plays out.
And I think that's a big, like, foresight into what's going to happen with David. If we say hypothetically we bring in Leonard or we bring in another middle linebacker, I think that's going to be telling on what's going on with David.
Yeah, because, I mean, I just mentioned it a few minutes ago, they signed J.J. Russell to the roster.
Yep.
That might unfortunately be an indication of what's going on with David, but you know, the salary cap constraints this season are pretty tight. I don't know that the Bucs can afford to keep up with maybe some other contending teams. Also, he might want to play for a contender. You know, speaking of, hey, he might want to go play for a winner. And there are a lot of winners that could use some linebacker help. You know, the Bills are probably – I think he ends up in Buffalo. That's probably my pick. The Bills lost, you know, Edmonds last year to free agency to the Bears. They haven't really replaced him. They've been going through a weird stretch, but they're still a very talented team. So I could see them bringing him in. I think that's probably the best match. But I just thought that was something to bring up just because, you know, the Bucs playing the Colts, and the Colts theoretically just got worse because they just waived a pretty decent player. But then again, he wasn't really getting much play, so maybe it doesn't make that much of a difference.
Yeah.
But shifting our focus back to the game itself, what do you think? We've mentioned that we think that the Bucs are better than the Colts. I think we both agree on it. But what would have to go wrong for the Bucs to lose this game?
Jonathan Taylor would have to have a big game.
Okay, fair enough.
And I say that because as much as I talk about how bad our run game is and how much it would better our offense if we had a good run game, I think that the run game and the pass game correlate directly. So if Jonathan Taylor's having a big game, that means there's going to be more receivers open and they're going to be able to get downfield with us biting on more play fakes on the play action. So I think that what has to go wrong for us is Jonathan Taylor to get hot and kind of have a big game, because that's going to open up everything else for their offense.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't disagree with it. I don't even know if – because it's tough because the Bucs have such a good rush defense. They've had that amazing rush defense for the past, you know, 5-6 years. It seems like their forte. So I don't know if I even necessarily think he has to have a big game. I think he just has to kind of give the Bucks pause. You know what I mean? Like maybe
he has to have a McCaffrey-esque game. Like what, he has 75 yards rushing, 25 receiving. Like he right. didn't have a huge game, but he kind of, like you said, it kind of had a second guessing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I think the offense probably has to, you know, give the ball away. I know it's a cliche, turnovers. God, can you talk about something else? But, you know, it's true because if the offense turns the ball over, if they give it away, then shoot, that's going to be tough to overcome.
100%.
So I don't know. I do think that if the Bucs just don't beat themselves, I think they have a really good chance to come out of this with a victory because the Colts are just, you know, they're kind of in that weird middle ground as well. And the Bucks theoretically should beat those teams. So we'll see how it goes, obviously. But yeah, that's kind of what I'd consider to go wrong if the Bucks lose this game. But in another kind of big picture question, what are your thoughts, or how do you think the Bucks proceed if they lose this game? Because this is kind of a tough part of the season. Like this is kind of I don't want to say it's a must win game because that's a very dramatic thing to say, but. It's pretty darn near close because if they lose, they go to three games under 500. That's not an easy up. That's not
yeah, a battle. Three there. Games under 500 with six games left.
Like, yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, it's I don't want to say that this game makes or breaks us because I feel like that's a little extreme, but I do think that if we lose this game, we've lost all of our momentum, any momentum that we have built or could have built. We've lost it all going into all of our, you know, division games.
Yeah, that's fair. And I think that the Falcons game is going to be big too. And you know, the Saints are obviously mm-hmm. kind of a weird team. They go back and forth between whether they're good or not.
So,
it's, you know, it's kind of an interesting time. And I think if the Bucks do lose this game, I don't think they win this division. But if they win this game, I also still am not convinced that they win this division. But if they lose it, I might be convinced they don't. So I don't know. It's a tough game. I don't know if I'd consider them completely dead, but they're nearly dead. So it's going to be interesting to see. But speaking
of life support right now, we're giving them CPR at this point.
Yeah, exactly. Like if they're – yeah, their hearts stopped. They're not quite to the other side, but yeah, they're getting close. But speaking of the NFC South, how many games do you think it's going to take to win this division?
I'm going to go 8 or 9.
8 or 9? Okay, yeah. Because in my mind, it's like this do the Saints win 8 or 9 games? Do the Falcons win 8 or 9 games?
And see, and that's why I think that. That's why I'm leaning more towards if we win 8 games, I think we could not easily win this division. But if we win 8 games and we don't lose any series in the division, I think we take it.
Yeah, if they win 8 games and they manage to win the rest of their division games, like if they lose to the Jaguars, they'll probably lose to the Jaguars. They can lose to some other teams.
Jaguars looked rough against San Francisco, man.
I guess, but what did the Bucs do against San Francisco?
We looked better than Jacksonville against San Francisco, dude.
I don't know. I guess
we scored 11 more points than Jacksonville.
I guess they also gave up 7 more points. It's a weird. Exactly. I guess it's a net negative for the Jaguars of 4 points. But that's nitpicking. I still take the Jaguars over the Bucs every day of the week and twice on Sunday. But yeah. I don't know. The Jaguars are a really good team right now. And so anyways, we can talk about that the week they play the Jaguars. But yeah, I'm with you. I think 9 games is safe. Like if they win 9 games and lose this division, that means that the Saints or the Falcons got really hot towards the end of the
yeah.
year. And I don't really see that happening in either case. But I also don't necessarily see the Bucks winning 9 games. So, you know, it's kind of a tough thing, but yeah, I think if they win 9 games, that'll win the NFC South. But moving on to our next segment, we've got over unders. I know this is one of my favorite parts of the episode.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. And it's my turn this week. I've got some stats for you. So I'm going to go with Gardner Minshew interceptions, and I'm going to set the line at 1.5.
Under.
Okay.
Under. Yeah. I mean, Jamel Dean probably isn't going to play.
Right. That's a good point.
So we're going to have backup a backup corner, and who we've seen when our backups are in, our defensive backs are garbage.
For sure.
So I'm going to go under. I say if he throws any, it'll be right at one, and yeah, it'll probably be a safety that gets it. I'm calling an Antoine Winfield pick this week, and that's about it.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to go under two, but I also wouldn't necessarily be surprised if Garner Minshew threw a couple interceptions.
And that's fair. I don't think I'd be shocked.
Right, because – you know, he can be a game manager. He can play it a little safe, but I don't know. It's easy to make mistakes in these kind of games because both teams are kind of equals, right? Like they're not really head and shoulders above the other one. So I don't know. It could be one of those weird games where he throws a couple interceptions and lets the pressure of like, oh, well, this is a game we should win, and he lets that pressure get to him. So I don't know. We'll see how it goes. But yeah, I'm gonna go the under, but not a hard under.
That's fair.
Right. All right. So now we're going to go to, let's see, what's the next one I got up? Ah, here it is. We are going to go with Mike Evans receiving yards. The line that I'm going to set is going to be 60.5.
Over.
Over? Okay. Yeah. I'll go over as well. I think Mike Evans gets a pretty decent game in this week.
I don't want to say a huge game. I don't think he's going to have like 180 yards.
Right.
But I could see a triple-digit yardage and a touchdown or two this week.
Okay, that's fair. I think he'll hit 80. I think that's kind of my guesstimate, 80 yards and maybe a touchdown. If he gets two touchdown catches, I think the Bucs win this game kind of running away. If Mike Evans has – I'd love to see the record of the Bucs when Mike Evans has two touchdown catches.
That's a good point.
Because I'm sure it's pretty good. Like, that's not something that happens when the Bucs, like, he doesn't have very many garbage time touchdowns.
Yeah.
Even during the Jameis era, you know, obviously it'd be isolated to the past 3 years because the stats would be skewed with all the losing that they did before that. But I don't know. It'd be interesting to see that. I'm going to go over for that receiving yards total. But now we'll get to some predictions, some other forms of predictions for the game itself. Who you got winning and what's the final?
I got Tampa winning 28-14. I think I know I'm kind of been on a losing streak as far as rooting for Tampa to win big. But I do have Tampa winning 28-14 this week.
All right, 28-14. I've got the Bucs winning as well. But I'm going to go 17-10. I don't think either offense cracks 20 points. They're both pretty, you know, they're not necessarily making mistakes, but they're not winning these teams any games. Of course, the Colts had that one performance where they scored freaking, you know, 38 points against the Browns. So they could go out and
win. I mean, we scored, what, 35 against the Texans?
Right. But, you know, the Browns are probably a little bit better defensively than the Texans.
A little bit, yeah. I'll give you that.
But then again, the Colts also only scored 10 last week against the Patriots. And the Patriots aren't very good either. So, yeah, I don't know. It's a weird thing, but that's what I've got, 17-10 Bucks victory. But we're reaching the end of our episode. We really appreciate y'all tuning in. Hopefully our predictions are correct, and we are tuning in next week with a Bucks victory. It would be a nice change of pace after this disappointing loss. Well, maybe not disappointing, but just, just kind of tough loss, I guess. But, you know, it's still a loss nonetheless, and hopefully we're coming back to you with a victory next week. But we really appreciate y'all tuning in. If you like what you heard, hit that like and subscribe button. Also, feel free to follow us on socials at RBLR Sports. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. If you want to see my boy Zach hit me with some fire bucks, TikTok, definitely check those out. But once again, we really appreciate y'all. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Have a safe Thanksgiving. And as always, go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.